Hello, everyone.
We're back. It's episode 6. It's your boys, Zach Willis, Quinalo. Back in the Bison Report studio in Horace, North Dakota, after a big Missouri Valley Conference win. Good start for the boys. Quinn, how you doing, pal?
Good. full disclaimer.
Hot start.
Yeah. Full warning. When you get sick.
Yeah.
Turns out when you go to the doctor, right?
Yeah.
First time I actually went to the doctor for being sick, I think, in like 5 years.
Soft.
Got a prescription, went and picked it up, just never took it.
That is the most you thing I've ever heard.
So it turns out when you don't take the medicine that they give you, you're sick for longer and it just doesn't go away.
So
I might be coughing here and there. I'll try to.
Yeah, just bear with us.
Yeah.
You guys know what it is at this point. It's not, you're not really getting polished production. As I mentioned, Quinn, we can kind of get into, I kind of want to go in now that we're in the season, break down Missouri Valley Conference play, what everything is like, how the mentality shifts, but let's talk about USD first.
Yeah, I mean, similar vibes to a game we experienced in 2018 at UNI. I think at halftime it was like 28-28,
yeah.
And it was a tie game, but I think they... Yeah, I think, I don't know, just a slow start. I don't know if it was like a hangover from the, obviously, the vibes in Arizona and obviously coming down from that,
right,
that loss. But, I mean, they figured it out in the second half, whole new team. Kind of the team we expect to see mostly going forward. But I think we're going to talk about yelling. I think you yelled on Twitter at a couple people, but
yeah,
you win 34-7. You win set by 17 points in conference for your first road game,
yeah,
conference road game of the year. You're going to take that 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah, and I will not get on my soapbox. I did a lot of that, and honestly, people get tired of hearing that. I know that. I don't want to like sit here and act like I'm holier than thou and I don't get frustrated at football games. I just think there's a little bit of coming to earth that needs to – that has happened. I think everybody settled down and is kind of in the right mindset. I honestly think it's – it was just a situation where it's easy to get up and go play an FBS game at night under the lights in Tucson, Arizona, and get fired up for that. It's a lot harder to get fired up and, you know, play in the Dakota Dome while some old guy's revving his Harley to run the team out onto the field. The funniest entrance I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
I almost fell out of the press box.
I've always been confused. Why is the Harley part of their whole thing?
I don't. There's nothing related to
there's
a biker
no
or yeah, yeah, whatever. I guess the Vikings did it. It was cooler when whatever his name, Ragnar, yeah, was that
I
his
guess.
Name?
I can't remember.
Victor the Viking, whoever it was, that was pretty cool. But it, like you said, it's a slow start. It's the first game in the Valley. It's a whole lot of things. And look, it's not a slow start. Isn't excusable ever. It's you can't have the start the Bison did when you go play SDSU or you play UND. You play a team that's going to jump on it. I think South Dakota is a good football team, and they proved that in the first half. But, like, who knows if you can recover from being down 7 at halftime, you know?
Yeah, and South Dakota is, like, one of those, like, I think they're pretty, like, mid-tier as far as the Missouri Valley goes. They, mm-hmm. I don't think they've ever been, like, one of the bottom, you know. I don't think they've ever finished last in the conference or anything like that. But I know, like, a few years ago when they had Strevler, I mean, to this day, one of the fastest dudes ever on a football field that I've seen. Like,
he
in person.
Is so underrated.
Yeah.
I think he was one of the best football players I've ever seen with my two eyes.
Yeah, and then, like, I think it was my freshman year. That was the last game of the year. We had just lost to I can't remember. Maybe we didn't just lose to SDSU, but I think it was my redshirt freshman year, so second year. We went down there.
Yeah.
We won the game, but, like, kind of the same thing. The first half, it was so sloppy that year, and it's because I think it was, like, one of the first years they had that when they used to do the true no huddle.
Sure.
And, like, we had defensive guys, like, running in and out. I think there was a couple, like, 12 men on the field plays, and I was talking to Jackson Brown, and, like, that's the spring ball after that.
Yeah.
That's when we, like, they put in
the two huddles,
the no huddle.
Yeah.
Defense and, like, as a D-tack, like, I don't know. Those no huddle periods, when you saw those on the script before practice,
the worst.
Your heart kind of sank a little bit.
Yeah, it's like, because me being a scout team guy my first 2 years, we would run two huddles.
Yeah.
And there's like other D linemen playing center. And because it was just rapid fire plays for 5 minutes, and it's the worst.
Yeah.
And you saw it. I think something like that is a great matchup for USD with NDSU's lack of depth at D tackle right now and on the D line. It's hard to, I mean, you're staying on for 60 plays, but it's 60 plays. Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah.
No, it's how about that for an audio clip? But yeah,
good radio.
Yeah. Because one, if USD doesn't sub anybody out, they don't have to wait for NDSU to sub people out. So they could have four guys on the field for 12 plays. And that's a lot when you're running no huddle.
Yeah. And like the reason you run no huddle is because one, you typically, and this isn't like a shot on anybody, but when you run a no huddle, typically your offensive line isn't that great.
Yeah.
Compared to other O lines. But they don't have to be because they're running to a spot every time. It's all zone. It's all inside or outside zone, and that's all it is as far as running plays go.
Yeah.
So as an O-lineman, as much as no huddle sucks, it's pretty simple, I think. We've never ran a no huddle.
Right.
I mean, two minute. But
no huddle is installed. It's not right. A prime. It's a situational thing.
But even 2 minute, we're not like running the ball more than 50% of the time.
Sure.
I mean, it's an occasional run.
No huddle is all passing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For NDSU.
Yes.
But for other teams like SDSU or USD, whatever.
Whatever. Yeah. Garbage state.
Yeah. But like teams like USD, like the 2018, 2017 USD, they were running the ball a lot with Strevler and with those running backs. And yeah, their old line, they just run to spots. But yeah, like you said, I think the D-tacks, they're going to get better. I mean, I know Coach Gazer, and I know that, you know, the last couple games, maybe they haven't been perfect, but like by the time we'll talk about it, the bye week being as late as it is,
yeah,
I think it's going to help them, honestly.
Absolutely.
By the time we get to that bye week, all these young D tackles, they're going to be completely different players. I guarantee you.
Yeah. And
I don't know either of those kids, the
Dudenheffer
and Weiss. I can't remember his last name.
Forgive us,
yeah.
Young men. You will certainly be in our lexicon very soon. You're playing well.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed by those guys because it's not like their liabilities when they're on the field for how young they are.
No, and it's been a long time since that room has been that young.
I mean,
when I came in, you know,
it's all GM, salty old dogs.
GM, Tang, Blake, and Steidel were all sophomores and juniors.
Right.
Third and fourth year guys. And then that room, literally the entire room stayed.
Yep.
And then it was, you know, Cole and JD and me and Beegs were like the youngest. And,
yeah.
But now, like, I keep thinking about if they had to throw me and Beegs out there our retro freshman year.
Yeah.
Like,
it would have been bad.
It would have been bad.
Yeah.
Bad news.
That's so funny because I think Beegler is one of the most underrated football players to come through NDSU for a long time.
Yeah.
Because obviously shortened season and he would have had a great senior season, but like slept on for how much he was dogging people when he was on the field towards the end of his career. But it's just funny to get that perspective. Like, even I think about Mason Miller when he played in the spring season, and I think about like freshman Zach Willis on the field against Sam Houston. It would have been so bad. So, like I said, have some patience with the young pups with the front four. They'll figure it out. It's hard when there's a lack of depth like that. But I was just talking to my dad on the phone before this, and there's nothing you can do about it. And this is the coach speak. This is what they're hearing. There's nothing you can do about it. So it's pony up time.
Yeah, and I think you see, like, during practice, I mean, NDSU typically, there weren't a ton of guys that got, like, vet days.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're an older D-tack, like Tangway or Steidel, like, they didn't always have, like, they knew what they were doing by the time they were, like, starters.
Yeah.
So, like, or by the time they even got, like, a ton of reps. I think Tangway and Steidel were both, like, some of the last guys that actually played as redshirt freshmen.
Yep.
But by the time, you know, they're older and they're taking reps during practice, like, maybe they don't have to, like, run all of it. Gazer's making those young guys right now.
Oh, yeah.
You're running all the way to the ball. They're like with
Love
as young,
City.
Yeah, with as young as those guys are, they're going to get, like I said, I get that maybe people are worried about the front seven and
sure.
The rushing yards because, you know, early NDSU D1 dynasty, 2010, 11.
Front seven wasn't something you worried about.
I think they had a streak with, like, not even giving up 100 yards rushing.
Right.
Or a rushing touchdown.
They shut down Zach Zanner
yeah.
to, like, 38 rushing yards or whatever.
You want to talk about old dirty dogs like Drevlo, Levon.
Oh, yeah.
92. I can't remember his name.
Yeah. That's it's been a long week for me, folks. Yeah. There's folks, first one of the episode. A lot of traveling, so forgive me for the brain farts, and Quinn's just sick and not very smart, so we're fighting through it.
We're going to grind it out.
Yeah. Here's a little fun story, a little side tangent. When I was on my visit to South Dakota State, we were in the weight room, and they had a picture of Zach Zenner up in there, and it was in the Fargo Dome, and I look at my dad, and I go, remember when we held him to 38 yards? I'm like, such a Bison homer, even. I'm like, please give me a scholarship, but also remember when my hometown team kicked your ass.
I think we need to get a Benchwarmers t-shirt of you in the SDSU jersey on your visit. I think the Bison fans need to see it.
No, they need the one with me and Eck. Where I'm
gross.
Shout out Jason Eck, man.
No, don't. No, shout out Jason Eck. I can't. I don't want to like put. I don't want to like accuse him of anything.
Oh, Jesus, where's this going?
But when they won in the Dome in 2016, pretty sure he's like spit at us.
Yeah,
it was him or one of the assistants that looked like him. Them boys were fired.
Yeah,
up.
And they like broke the glass in the Dome and danced on our midfield logo and. That's just SDSU. Look where that got you. Just sitting at home watching us win in Frisco. So maybe focus on beating Montana State in the semis, you losers.
JMU. When they got dogged by JMU.
Yeah, that was awesome too. Yeah. Yeah, shout out Taryn Christian. Like 9 interceptions, whatever it was. Kind of jumping around the script here, but let's talk about the bye week. I think it's an interesting placement because –
We never had that.
I think every time I played, or every year we played, it was
always after non-con.
Yeah, before the conference game.
And then it was
game.
Just 8 weeks straight.
Yeah, and when you're a young guy, you're not looking forward to bye weeks. Well, they're not fun.
So I wonder what bye week late in the season will be.
I would imagine it'd be very different.
Very different, because bye week early in the season is basically like a week of fall camp.
Yeah.
For young guys.
Yeah, they just get, because there's no game on Saturday.
So you go from fall camp as a freshman, and we, you know, our entire first episode was all about fall camp.
Yeah.
And how good it feels when you get to the season and you redshirt and you're just, you know, you're in your routine.
Yeah.
So now you have 3 weeks, and this is if the bye week is right after non-con, like it was for us our whole time. You get, you know, you get in the rhythm of things. You have class, you have Devo lift, practice, class, you know, all that stuff. Yeah. Well, now it's only 3 weeks in. And they were like, well, I want to see how good guys get after the first 3 weeks. Yeah. So now, like, you're not, like, they don't even do that week, that bye week. The first, like, 4 days of it, it's literally double reps.
Yeah.
Like, they went back to fall camp, and you're just like, oh, no. Because, like, for anyone that doesn't know, when you're on scout team, you don't necessarily get, like, technically better.
Yeah.
Because you are, the entire time, you are trying to portray the other team.
Correct.
So sometimes their techniques are just, I mean, crazy.
And also, your job is just to get the block done.
Yeah.
You're not, like, you don't have Connor Riley, Aaron Blazek.
Yeah.
Actually, I take that back because Blazek would flip on the scout team tape to make sure you're playing.
When he would do that,
it made my hands sweaty, and I wasn't even on it.
Yeah. Well, like, you'd be watching it, and you'd be, the first time he did it, when he's like, okay, we're going to watch scout team tape. I remember, like, looking at people, I'm like, oh, boys.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think, and I don't know what scout team is typically like everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
At NDSU, it's competitive. They don't want you to just, like, get pushed 10 yards down the field.
But they also don't want you burying guys 10 yards down the field.
They want to see the plays work.
Yeah.
So, like, as a defensive guy, like, when I was on scout team, I would always make sure, like, I didn't get pushed back more than a yard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't push more than a yard.
Right.
Like, let's just say, like, the center on, like, a pick back.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are running power, whatever. Yep. I know power's coming because I literally saw the script.
Right.
Like, the scout team guys see the script. So I'd push back a little bit. And if for some reason I threw the center, like, if I could push him back more, I just wouldn't.
Right.
Because it's like, what?
Yeah, you know, like, you roll Tanner Volson up. Like, what do you get from, like being a scout team All-American?
Yeah, but I don't know if that's what it always was, because Blaz, when he would turn it on.
That was crazy.
And, like, I never played scout team O-line, but I figured it's the same thing, right? Run blocking.
Absolutely.
You want to run block a little bit, but you also want the D-tacks to, like, get a feel.
You're
of
not what throwing hard doubles and, you know, like, carrying dudes on loops and stuff like that.
So Blaz would, like, get the laser out. He, like, there'd be a pass set or a run play.
I want
and he'd
people
be like,
to,
where's the push? Where's
I want
the
people
push?
To understand how crazy that is.
Yeah.
I think he just did it to mess with them, but, like,
yeah.
And I get it. you need to give the defense a good look, but like there's a gentleman's agreement of how hard everybody's going.
Very much so.
And Tuesday you ramp it up, and that's as hard as it gets. You know, you do give push, you try to move people on scout team, but after that, man, you're like, hey, I'm in the right spot, I'm giving the right look for the technique. That's all you need to do.
You know who was the worst at gentleman agreements for the O line? Cooney.
There, yeah.
Cooney would always be 100%. Like, Cooney would always be like, hey, this one, you know. And then he'd come off just screaming off the ball, like going 100%. But
yeah, you know, if we're talking about that.
Can't hate on Cooney. That dude played hurt, I think, 1,000% of the time.
Yeah, if we're going to talk about breaking code, I need to bring up Jack Darnell. He got me punched in the head like 12 times by Nate Tangway because we were standing up, play was over, and he threw me onto the ground into Tangway's knees.
Got to stay up.
Shut up. I mean, that is like the ultimate code break because you look like the a-hole if you're on the ground. The play was over.
Yeah. Since you brought it up, and this is not on our little sheet, what's more annoying and impossible to do than when coaches yell, stay on your feet?
Oh, my God. You don't know that I just stepped on four. I just stepped on the right guard, the left tackle's ankles, and the middle linebacker stuck me in my chest.
It's one of the most frustrating things because, like, hey, listen, we want to stay on our feet all the time.
Thanks, Coach. I was trying to fall.
Yeah, if I'm on the ground, it is not because I want to be on the ground. But, you know, that's part of the learning how to practice. And it's funny because the older you get, the more you kind of do realize, like, well, maybe there's, like, ways to prevent falling. But during fall camp, I mean,
yeah,
I get it. Like, if guys are, like, falling down during, like, scout team and all that, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But like fall camp when they're yelling about staying up, it's like, okay, then let's not do this drill then. Yeah. There's no pods.
Oh, it's carnage. Yeah. It's a car crash.
That's what it is. It's a wreck.
And it's just
trying to figure out how we got here.
There's a lot of code that we could talk about as far as scout team and, you know, ones and twos.
Oh,
that's agreed upon.
Here's how we got here. So now with the bye week being, what is it, like 8 weeks into the season? Yeah. I think it's going to be a ton about recovery.
I could honestly see this. Like, I don't know if they would go full strapped as far as knee braces, bottom halves covered. Yeah. I could see them going recovery, get guys back, and just doing cardio. Right? Like, that's a legitimate thing that could probably happen as far as just getting the legs back.
Kind of treating it like the like the playoff bye week that they've typically had.
Right.
Because I think there's only like three more games after the bye week or four.
Yeah.
Because it's like mid-October and, you know, first round of playoffs is always Thanksgiving weekend.
Yep. And yeah, that kind of leads into, you know, the Missouri Valley grind. I don't know if people first goal that's set in the beginning of the year is to win the Missouri Valley Conference Championship. And it is the hardest conference in football to win. We were pretty lucky to, not lucky, we earned it, but we're fortunate to win at least a share of everyone I was a part of on the team. But there's nothing like, non-con's fun. You get to see who's going to play, who the star is going to be. But you guys saw it against USD. It's just a meat grinder. And everybody chews each other up and spits each other out.
Yeah, and it's definitely As far as the FCS goes, I think it'd be hard to find anyone that would disagree. I mean, I'm sure there's teams in other conferences saying that they're the better conference, but they're not. And the thing is, like, this USD win, 10 years ago, 12 years ago when this whole run started, I think everyone was kind of at, like, level playing field. But NDSU, after a couple years, like, they just got to a point that no one else could even touch.
Yeah.
And they were just beating everyone. And, you know, they had some stinkers. Like, they would lose to, like, Indiana State, or they'd drop one to USD, or they would drop one to UNI when David Johnson played.
Lose ugly to FDSU. Right.
But those games, what am I trying to say here? Like, they just didn't, those teams weren't better than NDSU.
Yeah.
NDSU just had a bad day.
Yep.
But now, teams, I don't think, like, USD is better than NDSU, but, like, they are much better than they were 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, the whole conference has had to play catch up so that, like, these games would be competitive. SDSU, I hate, like, don't want to give them any compliments, but obviously they're a much different program than they were from 2011 to 2015 when we would just beat them every single time.
Yeah. And a lot of that, I mean, it was just, it's driven by competition of everybody trying to catch up to NDSU. And I guarantee that's part of recruiting and getting better players is, hey, we're going to get a shot at the Kings. That's what it is.
Yeah. Well, I feel like there's two, like, NDSU recruits guys saying, like, hey, we are, like, we're top of the mountain.
Yeah.
And then, like, SDSU, they can actually say, like, hey, we've beaten them a couple times. Like, we're recruiting you to, like, take it over.
This is going to make people mad. I couldn't give less of a damn about the marker. Because we just beat them in the playoffs and we win national championships.
I would love to lose to them. I would love to win a regular season game against them.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, people always say, like, oh, this is the fall of the Bison every year when we lose to SDSU. Not every year. We don't lose to SDSU every year. Yeah. But it's like, we run four plays on offense when we play SDSU. That's just what it is. Yeah. We're not there to, like, open the playbook and beat them in Brookings or beat them in Fargo in November. It's so we can beat them in December if we see them.
Well, it's weird. Like, defensively, I remember, and I remember talking to Levi Jordheim about this a few months ago. When we, those couple of years we lost to SDSU in the regular season, 2016 and 17, lost them in the regular season.
Yeah.
Beat them down in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Remember those playoff games? Yes. Like, not even close.
Yes.
2016, I was hosting a recruit, and, like, Hank had us up in, like, the
shout out Hank Jacobs. Yeah.
Shout out Hank. Hope you're listening. I know you're not, but
he's the man.
Yeah, Hank's the best.
Big tune.
But, like, he had us up in the offices, and we were, like, eating B-dubs with these recruits. And
yeah,
it was a close game because, like, they got up 10-0. We came back, tied 10-10, I think. And then GM had the safety in the end zone. And then we literally scored, like, 28 straight.
Yeah.
And then I think the next year we beat them. And then the year after that is when Bruce ran for, like, 1,000 touchdowns.
It's when he bounced that dude's head off the turf, dribbled it like a basketball. Ben Ellison had the most violent play I've ever seen in my
Bruce
life.
Bruce scored 3 touchdowns on that drive because I think 2 of them got called back.
Yeah, one was a receiving that came back from a holding.
Yeah.
The other one was a holding, and then he finally scored to finally get his. Yeah, but.
But I was talking to Levi, and, like, the 2 times we lost in the regular season, at least defensively, we had, like, all these pressures put in, all these, like, you know, specific SDSU game plan, and, like, it just seemed like it always backfired on us because the communication would lack or something would go wrong during the game. And then in the playoffs, both years, it's like we played the most basic defense. Yeah. And guys just ran around and made plays.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of Bison football is, you know, you can rely on hatred all you want, and, you know, they can get up and, you know, keep treating that like their Super Bowl. I think they have, like, Beat the Bison in their facility and stuff like that. You would never see anything like
that. I would love to see that.
You would never see anything like that at NDSU.
Yeah.
Because it's a nameless, faceless opponent. That's what it is. And like I said, I'd like to have the marker in the football offices, but I'd rather have national championship trophies. And
well, yeah, that's, like, I know what you're saying. Because, like, in, you know, trying to, like, be not biased about it, if you would rather have a regular season win and, you know, a trophy of some sort that shows it, or just a playoff win against them,
yeah,
you're taking the playoff win.
Yeah.
Like, I still love the marker game, and I think it's every time it's intense. Like,
I don't think I've been a part of a better football game than when Adam Cofield took that 60-yarder to the
house. I was just
going to
talk about it. Yeah. I didn't even dress because I had that like I had a foot or whatever.
Yeah, I was holding the clipboard and a boot.
Game day was there. Like, yeah, it was a big game.
Yeah. And then even that, like, I think we had the Johnny pass, which didn't work. That was
a touchdown too.
Absolutely. That was more eccentric than anything we usually run against STSU. Yeah. Trey had the fumble that he recovered, and, like, it was just a weird game.
Ty had a huge run.
Yeah. And then we just ran, I'm not going to say the play call. I remember exactly what it was.
But I remember being, that play call was all week. And we're just like, this is going to go.
Yeah.
And there was a point, I think we were down, I think we were on the goal line at one point. Mm-hmm. We were at, like, the 3-yard line, like, where an extra point would be. And I remember, like, looking around, and I'm like, oh, this is when we're going to do it. Because it was, like, earlier in the game. I think it was, like, third quarter, and we didn't run it. And I remember, like, I wasn't dressed, but I was still, like, on the field with the O-line.
Yeah.
And I was talking, like, you or Jalen or Cody or someone else that wasn't necessarily playing, and I was just like, did you think we were gonna run that? And they were like, yeah, I kind of thought we were gonna run that.
That's when Cordell jumped off sides.
Oh god,
it was the maddest I've ever seen a coach. Blazek lost his mind.
Yeah, but, like, shout out to T-Roll and for just keeping that in the pocket for the entire game.
Perfect moment.
Yeah,
and he just housed it. They came back, and whatever, strung a couple plays together. Derek Tuska just absolutely ended whoever their quarterback was.
Oh, that was a strip sack and recovery by him, too. Absolutely. They called
took the ball from him.
Yeah, when mid-air. They were in the air. Yeah. So, like, that's kind of BS.
But, Tuska's a sicko.
The funniest thing that happened after that was, so the next year was COVID, obviously, and Tyrell got in that Twitter yelling match with one of their coaches.
Yeah.
And their coach posted a screenshot of when we played them, like, in 2011 or whatever, and he's like, the coach was like, oh, you know.
I think it was 07. It was when something. They beat NDSU.
But they were like, imitation was a form of flattery. And then, like, T-Roll screenshotted an earlier clip of us doing it before that one, too. Yeah. And he's like, hey, buddy, like, we'll play you guys anywhere.
I think he hit him with the national championship trophy room, too.
Yeah, but then he posted something about, like, he posted, like, a screenshot of the formation, and we had run it, like, way before that, too.
Yeah.
So it's just like, here's the thing about football. When you think you've invented something, you haven't. Like, you definitely haven't. Yeah. It's not like we invented that play.
Right.
Or that formation.
That's what people don't understand about the NDSU offense is literally from the beginning of us playing football, we've ran every offensive run scheme like that's ever been created.
Yeah.
You obviously, everybody knows the veer and the triple option and like literally every zone, every power, every G scheme that could be ran in football, we've ran.
You should see what 40 power looks like in 9-man. 3 linemen down.
No.
It is sick.
No, it's not. Nothing is sick about 9-man football. Shout out. I'm going to get yelled at for that. But
big.
I just have a couple other things before we get into a break here. Just got a couple texts from the weirdos who follow PFF, a.k.a. Ross Uglum and Jake Morley. Some pro Bison news. Chris Board was the highest graded line defender this week. Shout out to him. Obviously had a big week off the field doing some philanthropic work. And Ben Ellison, the highest graded Viking offensive player. That's big for him. Gotta love it when you see the guy succeed at the next level.
Yeah, it's big for the boys. I think Ben is like a, well, we'll get to CB. Okay, we've talked about the CB story, so we're going to have to say it again. But before we do, Ben going down to Jacksonville, obviously the first couple years, him ending up in Minnesota,
so cool,
has to just be like the coolest feeling for him.
Yeah,
because he's actually like a Vikes fan,
right?
Like, obviously, like when you get to the NFL, I feel like you can't have like your favorite team anymore, even though literally everyone does,
unless you play for them, right?
Like, imagine all the pictures he has of him like little growing up in Vikes, like Vikes apparel and gear, and
yeah, and it's actually kind of funny because I talked to him about it after he came back to Minnesota, and he was like, dude, I like Jacksonville. It was a change of scene. I got to leave home for a little bit, you know? But yeah.
I would always yell at him on Snapchat when he'd post that. It'd be like January. He'd be on the beach.
Yeah.
Be like, shut up.
You're in Jacksonville. It's not really a flex, I guess.
Your coach is Urban Meyer, dude. The next coach of the Hornets.
We can't talk crap about the Jaguars right now.
Oh, we sure can't.
Lost by 28 to them. That's not great.
Another rough weekend of football.
And then I want to talk about the Rams. I think there was some stuff that got cleaned up, obviously, in the first half. But Cody Mauch, highest rated Bison on PFF this week, and won NODAC insurance.
I always think it's funny when
player of the game.
I always think it's funny when an old lineman gets NODAC player of the game, because you know what it is? It's, and it happens actually more
than
no
free shout outs, by the way.
No, absolutely not.
We should probably cut that.
We're gonna bleep that.
Yeah.
Player of the game.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because you know what it is? It's like we had like, I don't even know the stats, but we probably had 5 guys rush for 40 yards each. And we probably rushed. Oh, we did. We rushed for like 360 yards.
Yeah.
We probably had like 6 or 7 guys rush for 50 yards. And they're just like, well, we can't give it to that guy or that guy. And we're like, okay.
Wirtz had a pick.
Yeah.
Dawson forced 2 fumbles.
So it's just like, okay, offense did good. O-line. The O-line's good.
Yeah.
Who should we pick on the O-line? And then it's like, Cody. Cody's sweet. Like, he looks cool.
Yeah.
We're going to pick Cody.
Yeah.
And that's not like a thing on Cody. Cody deserves it.
Right.
If you looked at the film, Cody probably deserves most player of the games.
Correct.
So.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing phenomenally right now. And we're obviously all over the place. But speaking of playing phenomenally, shout out to those middle backers. I think Wirtz answered a lot of questions this week. Our young man, Nicholas Kubitz, played pretty well. It's good to see some development out of those guys and obviously stepping up to the call from Coach Entz.
Yeah, and I think like if everyone that saw the clip of Entz saying, like, I got to have someone prove it to me, obviously, like, that, if that's not a wake-up call to a player or a, you know, a collective group of players at that position, then I don't know what is. But I think it's more than just one guy stepping up. They just all did.
Right.
And, if, like, here's the thing. If all of them step up, then, like, you can still keep rotating guys if they're going to play that well.
Right.
It's just that if one of them stepped up and, like, the other one continued to not play as well. But if they all step up, then we have more great players to play.
Exactly.
It's good no matter what.
Yeah, and obviously you'd rather have players playing well on defense and players playing bad. So
yes,
shout out to both those guys. Let's talk about an insurance company we actually like, Quinn. Let's talk about Tundra Insurance.
Yeah, we're not going to bleep this one out.
No.
Yeah, Tundra Insurance. I'm out here in Horace. We are directly south of Big Irv's, one building.
Certainly.
You should see the big Tundra Insurance sign right next to it, the Bison Report sign. That's the building we're in.
It's hard to miss.
It's hard to miss. It's, you know, small town.
Yep.
But
right across from the fire department.
Yep. Yeah. But yeah, we're here Monday through Friday. You can reach us on the phone too, 701-969-1664.
Atta baby.
I don't even have to write that down anymore.
I love it.
Yeah, but yeah, we're here working Monday through Friday. Like I said, you go to some other insurance company that, you know, is just single named, just their, you know, their single carrier.
Yep.
You're only getting one rate, but, you know, with us, we are going to use our 20 carriers that are provided independently and find the rate that best fits you and your situation.
Yeah, so. And I think an underrated part of that is, like you said, if you go to these single name carriers, you have to go to a bunch of them to try to get quotes. You guys kind of correlate everything all together, and one-stop shop certainly makes it easy. You guys made it easier for us to insure Big Deck, get my car insurance switched over. So I'm a firm believer in Tundra Insurance. You guys are doing great work. Come out and see them. All right. Can we talk about this stupid pregame handshake thing?
I mean, we're going to have a special guest actually next week.
Yeah.
But then we have a special guest lined up, you know, a few weeks from now.
Sure.
And I think he has tweeted about it a couple times. I mean,
I'm so excited. A lot of bleeping in that episode.
The pregame handshakes, wow, for the Missouri Valley. It's one of the worst. I mean, I can't even put into words how stupid I think it is. And for those of you that don't know, every single player, after the captains go out there and they shake hands, here's the thing. That's normal.
Yeah.
That's always, like, yeah, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's literally every team. That's what happens before every single football game.
Correct.
Happened during COVID.
Yep.
When you weren't supposed to touch each other. But, you know.
Shut up.
Every single player on each team has to, like, come out to the midfield and at least, like, fist bump or dap up one player. And it's just like, hey, good luck. Like, or even, it's usually, like, I don't think I ever said anything.
I don't think I went out. I just, like,
no. Well, like, no, sometimes you would, like, walk to, like, the, like a third there, and then just, like,
just past the hash.
Yeah, and then just kind of stand there, and then as soon as, like, a couple people passed you back,
you come back,
then you'd go back.
Yeah, and, like, some guys do know each other across the conference from, like, recruiting and stuff, but
that's,
like,
different.
Yeah. I don't have a boy I'm going to go dap up that plays for Northern Iowa or something like that, but, and actually, it got instituted in high school when we played the Cheyenne Mustangs because, like, there was so much vitriol and, like social media stuff, and we were, like, talking about how violent it was going to be, and, like, some parents for Cheyenne got scared and made us shake hands. It just...
Of course they did.
Of course.
Kick-eaters.
It makes me more angry, and it was the most unnecessary thing of all time because you're just chomping at the bit to play football, and I have to, like, go dap up the third-string right guard. That's also my boy because I was right there too. So,
that was always the funniest. After games, well, like before games, like no, but like after games, when you would like, because like after games, then like NFL, high school, college, like everyone daps up after the game.
Yep.
Or like some sort of it. It was always funny because like you didn't want to, like, I would never go up to like a starter.
No.
I would just be like, find random guys like me.
The funniest part is they're like, I can like go dap up Strevler or Eric Berrier, and they're like, hey, bro, good game. Like, thank you.
No, I made a conscious effort to like not ever do that. Because like, I would just like go home and be like, I didn't even play.
Yeah.
Like, why did, oh, yeah.
What?
I would just think about it too
much. You should like, You should have, like, dirtied up your jersey and, like, jersey swapped with somebody. Yeah. Like, you have zero snaps on the day.
Yeah.
You should have found other middle shields on punt. That's what you should have done. True. Just, like, most important position on the field.
Respect.
Yeah. Shout out to those guys.
We could have a whole episode on middle shield. It would probably be our highest, you know, listened episode ever. If we
right. did. Everybody cares about middle shield guys. Yeah, yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the fastest way to bash your brains in. It hurts so bad. I only did it in practice, and it sucked.
I can't. I mean, we know coaches don't listen to this. I can't believe they have Cody out there playing right shield. Yeah. That's one of the most insane things I've ever seen. I
think Gray is left shield and someone else that...
Kubis is middle.
it's
Nash. Nash was middle, then he got hurt against USD.
Guys,
and
Kubis
was the second. Yeah, it's like, why are you guys... Why are you putting them out there?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Costner played right shield with you, and Ben Ellison used to be the left shield. And
yeah. Oh, dude. We praise Ben earlier. I've never seen, like, a more nervous, not nervous, but just, like, Ben was, like, a dude, yeah. Obviously. Everyone knows.
Yeah.
He got out there, and he would, like, do left shield, the call shield. He was a nervous wreck every time.
Dude, you don't want to mess it up. There's so much, because I would, like, be the left shield in practice, and everything is, like, hanging on you making the right call, and there's people moving, and I can't count to five, and if it goes, like... I would call out like 76, and that's not even possible in football.
No,
you know, from left to right, reading who's on what side of the center, and it is nerve wracking. Yeah. But also, Ben was like the smartest player on the football field, so I don't know what
he would just get back. He would just get back there sometimes, and he'd be like, and like it was easy for me because like obviously Costner started that 1 year in 2019 when I played, and then when I was on the team, and then obviously Ben was a starter. So like I did kind of make it my responsibility to know a little bit more just because I knew when they got into the game, like when the game time's here, they got a lot more to worry about than punt shield.
Yeah.
So there'd be a couple times when Ben's like, and I'm like, no, just
right there.
So like,
shout out you
just to help him out.
Yeah.
Because I literally didn't do anything else, but yeah. So Ben was funny when we got on shield sometimes.
Yeah. That, I actually do remember that. That's so funny.
When we went down and played Southern Illinois, though,
mm-hmm.
and here's my one gripe with Shield, with the O-line pertaining to Shield. There's a correlation here.
Sure.
Punt safe for a team is when they just leave their D-tacks in. Yeah. And that's like, it's the worst because, you know, they don't even want to block the punt.
Right.
They just want
to hurt you.
And the reason they want to hurt me is because they've been getting bullied by the O-line the whole game.
Right.
So, like, Cordell and all them thinks it's so funny to, like, like play, like, to the whistle and, like, right. you know, put them into the ground. Well, like, guess who pays the price for all this?
Number 69.
Yeah, me.
The other offensive
me and lineman. Me and my brain just sitting out. And if you don't remember, Southern Illinois that year, those 2D tackles.
Big boys.
They were, like, 6'1", 6'2", but, like, 350.
The worst.
And one time, and we've talked about me and Costner deciding to run at people.
Yeah.
Well, I was just, Ben was like, hey, because like the one was on his side and they only did punt safe. So the whole, which is almost worse.
Yeah.
Because at least with like the skinnier guys, as long as you hit them and don't miss them,
right.
like it's fine. They will never.
You can throw a punch on them.
Yeah.
You can't on 350 coming down.
No. So Ben was like, hey, when you run, like make sure you chip him. So I ran at him, tried to chip. He just swam me.
Yeah.
This D tackle, and I just like remember looking back at Ben and be like, oh no, I'm so sorry. But then I think he like kind of gave up before he got to Ben.
Sure.
And we got back and he's like, hey, did you try to hit him? I'm like, yeah, I just missed. I'm sorry. Just left him out to kind of left him out to die, to be honest. But
well, whatever. He's Ben. He's in the NFL. He can handle it.
Yeah.
I think the one I remember the most was Eastern Washington. And I don't think you were on punt then, but they had two giant D tackles, like 6'5", 330, and they would just sprint downhill and run into people. And because if you take an inch step backwards, you're getting screamed at by the punter and the punt coach.
We're going to get into this Eastern Washington game.
Let's do it.
Traveled.
This is funny.
Do you remember the story?
Yeah.
The me going out there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think Tangway actually listened to this, or at least he retweeted our promotional stuff last week.
Sure.
So Tangway, if you're listening to this, like, I can't believe you did this to me.
I can.
So it was okay. I should have known it was gonna go bad because it was a him and Blake idea.
Right.
All right, people. So put yourself in my shoes here. I'm a redshirt freshman, first road trip ever. they put me on the bus to go to Eastern Washington.
You're pumped.
In 2017. I did my speech the night before.
Yeah.
Like, it got a good pop at the end because I threw a good
speech.
Yeah, I threw a good one-liner in there. So I'm like on top of the world, basically.
Yeah.
Playing on the red field, like warming up with the boys.
The Inferno.
Yeah. Can't remember what quarter it was or anything. I think it was like a little bit later in the game. I think we won that game by like 2 scores. Can't really remember. Only have one memory of it. Tangway was... oh, God. This is me just being like the most naive, like redshirt freshman of all time.
Yeah.
Cause like you listen to the guys, you know?
Right.
Cause Tangway was a senior, right? Yeah. Tangway was a senior. GM was a senior. Stidle and Blake were juniors.
Yep.
So Tangway comes up to me after he comes off the field, after they punt, and he's like, hey, next series, if they punt and they call out punt safe, just go in for me. not approved by Gazer, not approved by anyone.
Correct.
And just me, I'm just like, oh, okay. And then I like look at Blake, he's like, yeah, it should be fine. He said, he literally said, he's like, yeah, it should be fine. So
grimy.
And like me and Beegs are sitting next to each other, and Beegs doesn't say anything. Beegs is like, yeah, probably. Like, because like Beegs thinking like me, like, okay, that's fine. Like,
yeah, we get to play.
It's 4th and 15. Like, who cares if I'm out there on punt safe?
Yeah.
And it's actually like 4th and 5, but right. they call out punt safe. So like, I'm like, but I'm actually waiting.
Sure.
And then I see Tangway, like, he's like, come. Like, he's like waving me in as he's jogging off the field. And I'm like, all right, here we go. And I'd like jog. I think I get like 10 yards onto the field,
yeah,
kind of. And then I don't really remember how many people yelled at me at one time.
You got yelled at though?
Oh, big time. I think it was mostly Gazer, obviously.
Was it a you getting yelled at for believing Tangway or for you being on the field? Or did both happen?
Both happened. Because sure. It was me getting yelled at because like literally no one knew what I was doing.
Sure.
There's 12 men on the field.
Yeah.
And I'm the 12th one. And I've never been on the field before.
You and
like
Beegler, 12 and 13.
It wasn't even Beegs. It was just a me thing.
Who messes around like that?
Yeah. But like, here's the thing. I get back. So then like we get back to the bench, and like obviously like Gazer's going through the last series, and he like turns around. He's like, what happened there? And I say, I was just like, it was like a me and Tangway like at the same time. Like, I mean, it was Tangway's fault, but he kind of did say, he was like, well, I told him to. And then Gazer just looks at me. He's like, do not go on the field unless I tell you to go on the field.
You're so lucky it was Gazer. Like, Goose would have been the nicest about it.
Yeah. Well, like, but I mean, do not get me wrong. There was yelling when I...
Oh, absolutely.
And there should be.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's the dumbest thing I think anyone's ever probably done. It's just believing another player to go out onto the field.
Oh, and I don't know if it was because of you, but they made that an emphasis, like, with special teams. Like,
sure
you are not off the field unless we tell you you are off the field.
For sure.
And shout out to Coach Kramer and those guys. They do a great job of keeping everyone in order. But that's one of the funniest stories I've ever heard.
And, like, what makes it, like, even a little bit better, it doesn't. But, like, me and Beegs, so like, that was our first road trip. And we, there's 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I mean, it had pretty much just started.
Yeah.
And Gazer was, we were up by quite a bit at that point. Because Gazer was like, hey, next series, like, you guys are in.
Mm-hmm.
So we get the punt, or they punt the ball to us with 9 minutes left. We kept the second team offense kept the ball for 9 minutes.
Yeah.
They ran like 12 plays. Or no, it was more. They ran like 16 plays.
Yeah, it was a great like, 4 minute drive.
For like 3 a pop.
And you didn't get to play?
Yeah, it wasn't a 4 minute drive. It was like a 9 minute and 30 second drive.
Right.
Because like me in my mind, I'm like, okay, I get to redeem myself here. Like maybe if I make a couple plays, I'll just forget that I tried to run out onto the field like during an important down.
Like scoop and score or something.
Yeah. Because it wasn't a punt safe with like 4th and 20. It was literally like 4th and 3.
Like something they could have.
Could have ran a fake. Right. Or like they could have snapped the ball while I was on the field and they get a first down.
Right.
I might have just got cut from the team if that happens.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been good.
And then like
what happened to you is probably the best outcome that kind of came.
Just getting yelled at.
Right.
Because, like, even me getting yelled at, I'm, like, in the locker room just ashamed after the game.
Right.
Because, like, I got yelled at for not for making a bad play, for literally just being an idiot.
Right. And which is the worst.
And then I'm wondering, I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, are they going to like give my plane ticket to someone? Like, they might just leave me here.
By the way,
I might just be an Eagle the rest of my life.
From what I remember, Eastern Washington, bad locker room, right?
Oh, one of the worst.
We should do a full run. I think people would like to hear a rundown.
We can do it.
Yeah. We should,
because you talked about Delawares, but I don't remember Delawares at all.
Can I just give a little tease to who our next guest is?
Uh-huh.
We can get into it with him because I think he's going to have some takes for that. He's an electrician and he was a fullback. That's all you need to know.
Also, and something that will be a topic of that conversation, because I've been wanting to talk about it, team nicknames.
Yeah.
And just how we just, how like 50% of the team, I don't even know if it's that much, 30% of the team go by their names, mm-hmm. like first family given names. The other 70%, it's either a last name or it's just the weirdest nickname ever.
Yeah, because nobody called me Zach. Nobody called you Olo. You were Quinn to everybody.
Yes.
But like I was Willis or something. Like,
but if someone found out my first name, then they would call me that forever.
Right.
Ty Brooks, Ben Elfson.
Zach Willis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one needs to know my first name. Don't say it.
I'm going to say it. Quinn's first name is... Never mind, I won't do it. I got a death stare.
It's Matagi.
Yeah.
And the reason I don't go by it, I loved growing up in Lemoore, but, I mean, Jesus, people. My last name was three letters, and I was Allo or Alo for, like, the 12 years I lived there.
How bad are they going to butcher Matagi?
Yeah, and it's like people were like, why did you go by that? That's so cool. And I'm like, I literally grew up in a town where they could not say my three-letter last name.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
What are we doing?
I don't blame you, but objectively, it's a sick first name.
Yeah.
Anyway, you got. I mean, Quinn's a cool name. You got two cool options, but we have yelling about USD on the script. I did all my yelling. Do you have anything to get out?
I mean, obviously the first, who do we play? My dumb brain. Who do we play the first game this year?
Drake.
Okay. So like, we gave up the touchdown against Drake, mm-hmm. first drive. The boys looked, you know, not great, but we win the game, whatever, by a lot. Second game was
NC AT&T. Yes,
as I like to call them. I feel like we pretty much dominated that game. There wasn't any really struggle there.
Yeah,
and then Arizona lost, and then the USD close game.
Yep,
but we won by 17 on the road in a conference scope.
Not close game. Yeah,
right. So it's just, I get it, because like I am sometimes in like super fan mode now,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like, why is that play a call? What's like the defense, the blah, blah, blah. And like, this isn't a knock on the fans, but I think everyone has to realize no one knows more than the coaches and the players.
Right.
We can disagree with play calls all we want.
Yeah.
But guess who probably slept in the dome at some point during the week?
Right.
Like, I don't know this for sure, but I'm convinced that first year he was head coach, Coach Enns, I'm convinced he slept there three nights a week.
Yeah, I believe it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just because, like, the times that I would see, because, like, I'm a late night guy.
Sure.
So, like, sometimes I would go drive around, like, late at night.
Weirdo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would see his car was still there at, like, 10:30 at night.
Right.
Like, practice has been done for 4 hours. Like, yep. And then it would be there for, like, so then, like, Thursday morning, I'd have, like, a 5:30, 6 a.m. lift.
Yeah.
Guess whose car is there?
Yeah.
Like, it's him roll. I mean, it's all the coaches, but... Right. Like, no one knows more than those guys about what plays will or will not work.
Yeah, I think.
Against the defense. And the same thing with, like, on the defensive side. We can, you know, you can be mad about how the game went. But to question, like, the offensive and defensive coordinator and, like, their play calling and, you know, their play calling abilities, I think it's, like, a ridiculous thing to spend your time on.
Yeah, and I think, just to, like, recap my final points, I think. One, it's my belief that a lot of people don't understand how hard it is to win week in and week out. And contingent on that point is coaches can only do so much. They can only put you in position to win. It's about execution and going to make a play. And I think there's a lot of that was missing in the first half against USD and the later part of Arizona. And it's also... Like you said, you never know a play's going to work 100% or not. You have a pretty good idea of what's going to go and what's not, but it was a little bit of a come to Jesus where it's like, not everything's going to be perfect all the time. And I think losing your mind over not losing your mind. This isn't even an indictment on anybody or what it is. It's just kind of feels like an overarching belief that T-Roll has to go up there and go 60 for 60 in play calls, and it's not possible.
I mean, it's actually crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a sick moment for me. 2019, I could be wrong, but I'm 90%, 99% sure I'm right.
Yeah.
We broke the school rushing record.
Correct.
And it, like, by not, and, like, it wasn't close.
By a lot, yeah.
Yeah. And, like, we broke, and we played an extra game that season. But, like, if it was still 15 games played, we still broke it.
Yep.
So, like, obviously the extra game helps. But the guy, then you have the COVID year. Hate to break it to anyone that's not a fan of NDSU listening to this. I don't know why you're listening to this, but, you know, besides.
Shout out you.
Yeah, shout out you. We would have won it in 2022.
Oh, my God.
We lost a lot of good seniors from that 2019 team, but people.
Raidens is there.
Carr stays.
Carson stays. Trey Lance stays.
Yeah. Cofield. I don't think Cofield leaves if we play that season. He's not, because he did all the. Yeah. He was with us all year. Yeah. Obviously, Jabril would have transferred either way, which is, like, whatever.
That was not going to happen regardless.
But that would have happened regardless, right? That 2020 team would have been insane. Yeah. So we don't get that year. Lose half the people, a bunch of starters for the spring season. And what? You guys lost in the quarters against Sam Houston, who won it?
Yeah.
Like, the entire O-line was hurt. We had, like, new quarterback and everything. Like, everything worked against NDSU, in my opinion, during that spring season. And you guys lost in the quarters.
Right.
Like, it's crazy.
My greater overarching belief is that I'm an eternal pessimist. You know this. If something's going wrong, it's always going to go wrong, and it's never going to be fixed.
I usually go back and forth.
Yeah, but it goes, when I think about the Bison, it's just always, what have you ever seen in the history of this program that it's going to stay bad?
Yeah.
Everything always gets fixed. And that goes into something I did want to touch on. To be a fly on the wall in the locker room of that USD game at halftime. And I think people would be shocked if they went in and heard it, obviously, because there's a lot of screaming and it's a lot of emotion and a lot of passion.
He said a lot of it was player yelling. I can imagine.
Yeah, and that's how it should be. It should be player-led. It shouldn't be a coach having to get up there and yell at you. But it's just people would probably be upset with some of the messages that are passed around, but that's just how it is, and that's what guys need to hear during a game like that. Yeah.
I mean, I am not by any means like I know what I'm trying to get at here, but I don't know how to describe it. I don't think, like, I'm not a big yeller.
Sure.
If anyone knows me, like, I think Kendra's obviously okay with it now, but even at times now, I think she's frustrated with how little, like, care I give some things, just because I'm just like,
sun's coming up in the morning.
Yeah. It's like, I don't, there, lots happen, and, like, you know, like, that really doesn't concern me very much, blah blah blah. So, like, sometimes, like, the coach speak and, like, the yelling would sometimes, like, almost annoy me more, because I'd be like, I know what you're trying to do, but, like, the players can figure it out too. But, like, we go back to that were you there for 2018 you and I halftime?
No,
buddy. I don't even know if you call it a speech, but the speech Coach Entz gave when he was still the D coordinator, because he was still the D coordinator, and that's when it was tied 28-28.
Yeah.
It was the most first half points we've given up in, like, 15 years or something. It was crazy. They just kept scoring touchdowns, and, like, we had no answer defensively. Offensively, I think that's the coolest video, in my opinion, of Easton, when he had, like, that 3-yard touchdown run, and he just, like, it looks like he swings on the guy, but he doesn't. He just fist bumps right in that defender's face.
Yeah.
The Chargers used it in his hype video after they drafted him.
So sick.
It's the coolest video ever. But, like,
that was the Easton stick game, by the way.
Yes.
He was nasty.
But defensively, like, we just didn't have an answer the first half, and Entz came in. I don't remember a word he said, but I just remember the volume, the passion, and just the intensity, and everyone was just like, even the offense, they were like looking around because, like, Entz came in, and it wasn't even, like, him standing in front of people. It was him walking through, like, the locker room, just yelling. Yeah. And everyone was like, all right, I think that's what we needed. And then I think we went out, and, like, the offense scored 20 more points, and we shut him out.
Yeah. I think people would, like I said, would be shocked, but, and, like, would probably be like, this man should not be around another human being ever again.
Well, and you said, I think, I don't know if you tweeted it, or I don't think this is like insider information. You said at the end of the half, T-Roll was on the field.
That, I've never seen that before. And
it was if people, if people question T-Roll, I just think whatever. Like, but old coordinators, no matter how bad you're beat,
yeah,
if they're up in the booth, because some old coordinators in the NFL and college, they're on the field.
Yep.
But NDSU were always up top.
Yep.
The only time I've ever seen him on the field is like if we're blown out, you know.
He's coming down to celebrate with everybody.
When I heard he was on the field before the half,
yeah,
that's what you want, though. Like, not, as a player, not and like, only, I don't think yeah. people realize how much – I mean, obviously, guys like me and Zach, who grew up in North Dakota, we know Tyler Roll, like, yeah. the player, and, like, what he means to NDSU. Guys that, like now, guys that, like, didn't live in North Dakota or weren't an NDSU fan, like, you learn – I feel like that's one of the first things you learn is how much of a badass T-Roll is.
Yeah.
Like, how much he knows – like how much respect you should give him.
Yeah.
Because of like what he has given this place.
He, I mean, this gets, I want to talk about two things. One, the Tyler Roll on the field at before half was one of the wildest things I've ever seen. Because he wasn't on the field to hype the boys up. Mm-hmm. He was chewing ass.
Yeah.
And it was before we went and kneeled the ball to after they gave up the late touchdown after the Ganella fumble.
Yeah.
And he's in people's faces yelling at them to get in the locker room, get in there. And you just know, it's like when you mess up as a kid, you just know you're going to get it. But for everybody who gets on online and talks about, well, this and that, and I defend my bad takes because I love the football team. Nobody loves Fargo, NDSU, Bison football than Tyler Roll.
Yeah.
And if you, if for as harsh as anybody could ever be, if you think he's not screaming at himself 10 times more when stuff doesn't work, you are sorely mistaken. That man has done more for this program and cares more about this program than a lot of people know and will ever know.
Yeah,
and that's why I go to my grave defending him, because I know how much, one, he's a great offensive coordinator. I tweeted out, he's like 40-5 in his tenure as OC and has engineered some of the best offenses that have ever played in Fargo. And you have five play calls that don't go for six and people lose their mind. You guys need to understand that he's the guy who's sleeping on his couch and, you know, this is like just in a general, like missing games and stuff like this to be there and get the Bison on the right track. I just,
and I already know like the people that I talk about, and like, I think
we're not even talking about a certain person. No. It's just like,
general in life, there's like 99%, like in my mind, I think like a lot of people are good, but the bad ones, they stick out more. Yep. Right. It's the same with fans.
Right.
A lot of fans are amazing, yeah. but you're going to have the one in the bunch that just like wants to bring everything down.
Right.
So I'm in that fan's mindset and I'm thinking, I'm listening to us and they're like, oh, we know how much he means to the program, but that doesn't mean you're a good play caller. He's a good play caller.
Yeah.
So, you know, miss me with that. He's a bad play caller stuff.
Yeah. And I made that point and it's just like, we're not going to score 50 on everybody. That is simply just...
Especially not in conference.
Right.
Conference play... And I don't... I think people... Like I said, I think a lot of fans realize it. Conference play is so hard.
Yeah.
Because we've been playing each other forever. I mean, the Missouri Valley has been forever.
Dude, I talked...
And like, UND was the first new team in forever.
I've been out of the program for 2 years, and I can tell you what USD's defensive emphasis was. And it was all about... beating power. And I remember like installing that. Nothing's changed. It's still the same a coaching core there. And it's exactly what happened. They're taught to defend power, but you just know the blueprint of how to beat teams. Sometimes it's about execution and stuff like that. But I just want people to know and understand how weird it would be if we showed up at your job on Monday and screamed how bad you were doing and saying you need to be fired. And it's,
right. And I think like now go back to, you're like, well, I go back to that one fan's mindset, not someone specific, but just like the bad fan.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, it's not my, you know, job to blah, blah, blah. Just so people realize this too, T-Roll coming down from the booth before half yelling at guys.
Yeah.
That's not him pissed off that his plays aren't working.
Mm-hmm.
That's him like looking at the field being like, we're not motivated right now.
Yep.
We're not executing right now. He's probably thinking himself, I'm not calling the right plays for these guys right now. He's
very
going,
good point.
He's going down there because he knows him going down there is going to make the biggest point that, any, you know, halftime adjustments can make.
Right.
Because I don't think it was the play calling. I don't think, I just, the boys didn't have the juice in the first half that they usually do.
And that's
so him coming down from the booth, he's like, I think this is what we need. Because here's the thing. If they, let's just say they have another like crappy half, he's not going to go do that again.
Right.
This isn't a weekly, like, oh, NDSU is having a bad half. Like, here's T-Roll coming.
No.
That was a, like,
he sent a message.
That was a one time. I would bet that that's the only time he'll ever do that.
Right.
Ever again.
Yeah. And I just, and there were sentiments.
Because it's what they needed.
Right. And there were sentiments I would hear from people, hear from fans that I agreed with. The silly unsportsmanlike conduct stuff that's, it's just not how, it's not characteristic of Bison football. And, you know, I'll take a holding isn't great. I'll take a holding. I'll take a DPI. We talked about that stuff. Like physical penalties we'll take all the time. But the silly stuff after the play and
And like
jumping off sides and false starts, it's just stuff you it's very frustrating to watch. But
yeah,
I mean, if you're talking about like offensive production and people losing their jobs, I don't know.
Well, then I tell you, I told several people, I as much as the penalties suck,
yeah,
going forward, buddy, I ain't too worried about the penalties because I know for one thing, the penalties will get yelled out at them.
Mm-hmm.
They will get either
the discipline stuff sharpens up.
They'll get yelled out of them, or they'll get ran out of them.
Right,
like after practice.
Yep.
It's like, okay, you guys want to like late hit? Let's just run as many gassers as we can after a 20 period practice.
Yeah, have fun.
Then let's see, like, if we want to like,
I saw
because it is coach speak. Oh, you like? Oh, when I love bros, but when he headbutted that dude, I could just like I put myself in today's practice.
Not great.
Running after a practice, probably. I don't know what the discipline will be.
Yeah.
But I imagine someone will be like, hey, if you have enough energy to headbutt someone after a play, maybe we need to make the play a little bit longer.
Here's 10 gassers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not too worried about the penalties because I imagine a few weeks from now, I don't know if we'll be talking about them anymore.
Yeah. I saw that was another thing. Like people saying the discipline part of the game was what was frustrating. And then adding the caveat, like hopefully that gets addressed, buddy.
It's
been addressed.
Yeah, and it will continue to be.
Yeah, that stuff will sharpen up. I'm not worried about it. I just, like I said, I didn't want to get on my high horse and act like I know more or I'm holier than thou. I just want people to calm down a little bit.
Be such a jerk on Twitter, though.
I know. I'm a jerk. It goes into the thing where, like, if you're so mad and so miserable watching the football game, why do you watch it?
Yeah.
If it's putting you in that bad of a mind space, then, and that I'm not saying don't watch it, stop being a fan, don't go over dramatic. I'm just saying calm down.
Yeah.
Just enjoy the football game. Mm-hmm. And I understand that Bison football is the only thing a lot of people have to look forward to. And I was one of those kids growing up. There wasn't a lot going great, but we had Bison football. And a lot of how your mood is contingent on is how the Bison play, but.
Yeah,
I just.
Well, then the one thing I want. Yeah,
this is a fun
podcast, but like sometimes we just have to like, I don't know if it's bringing people down to earth or what it's called. We just got done playing. Actually, this week I told Kendra this is crazy. This week or next week, it'll be 2 years since I've been done.
Yeah,
which feels like insane because 2 years in football time is like 10 years. 2 years outside of football time feels like 2 months. Like I feel like I just got done playing.
Yeah.
But this is for anything. Like there is no one that cares more about the program, that cares more about like the reputation of the program than who is currently there.
Yeah.
I can say all I want that I love it more. Right. Mm-hmm. But I don't.
Yeah.
Because when you are playing and.
And I don't care if you're a former player of any magnitude. Yeah.
I don't care if you're me or I don't care if you're, you know, Easton or Carson or Trey, like no one cares. And maybe we're wrong saying this, but like in my mind, no one cares more about the program than everyone who is currently there.
Correct.
Because they're the ones that have to keep this thing going.
They have the same Bison pride that we do.
Yeah.
And they have the pressure of winning each week.
Yeah,
and we will, I won't say it. I won't say it on the pod
because you and I aren't in the locker room today and getting ready to get ready for a Spiders practice to go play Youngstown for homecoming. We're not going through lift. We're not recovering. We're sitting here talking about the football game.
Yeah, and like I won't say it. I won't say who did this on the pod. But when we lost, so you weren't on the team, obviously. But when we lost in 2016 to JMU in the semis at home, obviously, I mean, all the freshmen just thought, because that was the year my class, the class of 2016 high school, we all redshirted. Jabril redshirted, Radel redshirted, like all of our best guys, we all redshirted.
Right.
It was 24 redshirts. It was crazy. Not one guy was, you know, whatever. But, you know, we're looking around like, oh, well, we just cursed this place.
Right.
Well, about a month later, you know.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Sorry,
so telling. I'm not going to say who the guy was. Like, if you know, then you know. But we had a former player that was part of the first run, you know, part of that 2011 to 2015 championship run.
Yeah.
He was a part of some of those, and he came back. And it was like, hey, typically we have, like, players come back and talk about, like, how much fun they had, like, playing. Like, you know, you guys are lucky. You're still playing. This guy came back, and he literally just said, you better not ruin the dynasty that we created.
Just such a banana thing to say.
But like, it's true because, like, you're a player. You don't want to be the group of guys.
Right.
He put it in a crazy way.
Yeah.
But you don't want to. But he had a point in saying that, like, you don't want to be this group of players that doesn't win any
right.
or wins one.
Yeah, and I understand.
We didn't need him to come in and say that to us. Like, we already knew it, dude.
I understand the sentiment, but, like, this thing has been rolling for a long time before even those guys got there. Maybe not to the level of winning FCS championships, but
that
I would have rolled my eyes out of
that.
That's
one of the funniest things I think I've ever been a part of. Because we all just walked out of there, and, like, even the seniors, like, the seniors and freshmen, for those that don't know, like, I've said it before. When I was a senior in 2020, I mean, it was more because, like, I knew we were playing one game. I didn't, no offense to any of the freshmen, did not care about the freshmen in the slightest.
Yeah.
I mean, I, to this day, I think I could name Cam Miller. He was a freshman.
Yeah. Mason Miller?
Yeah, sure. Mason was a freshman.
Yeah.
Thought he was a redshirt freshman, but yeah, he's a freshman. So, like, it's not necessarily to that degree, but when you're 5 years apart with someone in age, you don't really have a lot in common with them in college. We all left that meeting, and, like, I was looking at guys, like, 5 years older than me, and I'm just like, the hell just happened? And they're like, I don't know. Like, that's just who he is, I guess. But
I think it was
a funny thing. Like, not funny, but it kind of, to my point, no one cares. And this is not, I know there are fans out there that care.
Yeah.
And, like,
we're not saying you don't, but nobody cares more.
No one cares more than the program.
Yeah.
Itself than the players and the coaches and, like, the equipment staff and, you know, the athletic training. Like, it's all part of it. And, like, no one cares more than them. They're putting in the most hours.
And if you have a qualm with that point, you can go argue with the wall. I just won't hear it. Speaking of, you know, arguing with the wall, if you think anybody makes better barbecue sauce than Big Dyke Barbecue, you're dead wrong.
Oh, I dare someone to tweet that out.
Come on.
I have a folder of memes that I'll just throw at them.
You're like a Vin Dog from Barstool. I'm just going to unleash you.
I have one I'm holding on to, but it's one that, like, oh, we'll get to it later.
I got a good one.
I just don't want to offend someone.
I got a good one for when we tweet this episode out. I hope it gets the numbers it deserves. Yeah. But we're still running a 30% off sale. Inventory clearing. We're getting rid of the old bottles, the old labels, all that fun stuff. Discount applied in cart at bigdykebbq.com. And I just want people to get ready. We got a new look coming when I can get labels. I'm not going to get into that. I did a lot of yelling about that off of the internet and on the internet.
Zach's been yelling a lot lately.
Yeah, it's been a stressful couple weeks. But we're getting new labels. Got my boy Frankie on there looking jacked. Cooking up something on the grill.
TRT Frankie?
Yeah. No, he just has it. Didn't need to replace it.
It's true.
But got new labels, new flip caps, different looking bottle. It's the same sauce, same recipe, same amount of everything. Yeah.
Like we said before, don't be intimidated by the sweet new bottle.
Yeah.
That's the same recipe, baby.
Grab it off the shelf.
Still the same good stuff.
Yeah, and it's just more user-friendly. I had so many people coming and talking to me about dill pickle mustard and Dakota mustard getting clogged with all the because guys, it's real stuff in there. It's real pickles. It's real peppers. We're not faking anything.
Nope.
And it's getting clogged. Now it won't. Now you can use it to your heart's desire.
Yeah.
And it'll come out nice and easy. Looking forward to getting that in everybody's hands. And we'll have free stickers for everybody who orders the new batch of stuff online at BigDykeBBQ.com. Let's talk about homecoming.
Yeah, I think it's – I'm excited because, like, I didn't go to homecoming last year. Mm-hmm. Don't necessarily remember what I was doing, but I'll be there this weekend. First homecoming tailgate ever. First homecoming game, like, actually watching it. And
yeah.
I'm excited to see, like, what it's all about, to be honest. I know, like, when we're playing, it's always a big deal. So yeah. I'm definitely excited to see, like, how packed the tailgating is, how packed the game is. And
it's Youngstown State. Yeah, it's a good game.
I don't know, like, what Youngstown is like this year. But historically, as far as, like, rivals go,
yeah,
I don't know if they were, like, the level of you and I.
Right.
Because obviously nothing's SDSU as far as this D1 era goes.
Yeah.
And I would say you and I in those early years.
Youngstown's more of a rival than North Dakota is.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be an episode.
That'll get me yelled when at.
We're going to get yelled at big time. But, yeah, Youngstown, for me, I think it was my senior year of high school. We played, NDSU played at Youngstown in 2015, and they were losing the game by, like, 10 points for, like, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And they won last second touchdown, NDSU did. I think.
Are you, like, still in high school?
Yeah.
You're talking about the Erzendowski play? That was my freshman year.
Against Youngstown.
Yeah.
No, there was a game when I was in high school because then it was my freshman year. I was sitting in the defensive meeting because we had just, it was Youngstown week. So we had just beaten someone. Now we're in Youngstown week and, you know, you go O&D meetings. There's the Horace Noon Noon bell for all you fine folks out there.
Quinn just got so scared. I wish you guys could see.
It sounds like the Purge.
Yeah, it does. All right, continue. O&D meetings.
Yeah, O&D meetings. Even Devo, even like Devo scout guys stay for these D meetings.
Yep.
Coach Entz, I'm convinced that the coaches just love putting together ridiculous PowerPoints.
Yeah.
And, like, even if they know it's ridiculous, one, I think they think it's serious, and two, I think they know they'll get a good pop out of the boys.
Sure.
He puts up a picture of, like, penguins, and I think I'm remembering this right. He had, like, penguin heads on stormtrooper bodies. And he was just like, they ran all over us last year.
That is the most football guy I think I've ever heard.
He's like, they just ran all over us last year. He's like, they're going to do it again.
Yeah.
They're going to do it again. They just did it last year. Like, it was like it was basically for like 20 minutes, him saying how bad we sucked against them last year.
It's the Coach Gazer, and former players are going to appreciate this. Here's my goose impression. Here we go, fellas. Touchdown, Penguins.
Yeah, you better add the fellas in there.
Fellas.
No, Youngstown played us.
I love you, Coach Gazer.
Youngstown played us so tough in 2015 that for the next 4 years, the defensive staff just kept that energy the entire time we played them.
Yeah.
Because I think we went out there and just absolutely, you know, dominated them that year. But then it was next year, and Entz did the same, like, thing. He's like, you know what I said last year? Stormtroopers.
Yeah.
He's like, don't let them beat our ass like they did in 2015.
Yeah.
Like, coaches so just funny. Love hanging on to that stuff.
Yeah.
They're the pettiest people.
Yeah, and I think Youngstown State necessarily hasn't had the success against the Bison as some of those other teams. But as far as scrappiness and hard to beat,
I was
going to
say, sometimes, like you said, Youngstown, I don't think they ever actually have beaten us in this era.
Sure. I'm sure we're wrong about that somewhere. Right. But
I'm thinking 2011 and now, I don't know if we've ever actually lost to them.
Yeah, but they're just, they always have, like, tough-nosed dudes.
Those are the games that, like, you see guys after that played, and you're just like, they were in a dogfight.
Yeah, and, like,
especially Pelini.
Yeah.
Pelini always got their guys
screaming,
ready.
Screaming, yeah. I just, Youngstown always, it's not necessarily a talent thing. They just always have meat grinders. And like, you watch anything about the Rust Belt and about Youngstown itself, they fit the narrative of that team perfectly.
The night games in Youngstown, Ohio, I only got to experience one of them. It was actually incredible. God,
this is a story, too. They forgot your jersey. You were hunter-conscious for a game.
So this show is called Bench Warmers.
Yeah.
This podcast show, whatever you want to call it. Sometimes when you're a bench warmer, you get forgotten about a little bit. We get to Youngstown that night, And I'm like looking around. My jersey's just not on my pads when we get to the locker room. So I go up to BJ. I'm like, hey, I'm sure you guys, you know, whatever, but I just, my jersey isn't there. And he's like, okay, I'll get back to you in a second. So I leave. I'm pretty tight with BJ. Yeah. Still am. So, like, I know he's BJ's got my back. I know I got my jersey there. It just didn't get put on the pads. It's whatever. Or it's not in the bag. He comes up. He's like, hey, Quinn, we don't have your jersey.
So funny.
So I was like, okay, like, that's fine. And I'm like, because, like, I really don't care that much.
Yeah.
But it's just so funny that, like, they actually forgot my jersey. So, yeah, shout out Hunter Pontius. I was 76 for that night.
Yeah, and also,
I actually kind of loved 76 because I grew – well, like, I wanted to be – this is, like, dumb freshman to me. When I was a D-tackle, I wanted to be 76 because of Mike Daniels.
Sure.
Green Bay's nose tackle. That's a gross number, though. It's a gross number, but, like, you got to be, like, gritty to wear it. I was definitely not gritty enough to wear it as a D-tackle. But it's a pretty generic O-line number. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't too heartbroken about it. But I even remember T-Roll coming down after the game to celebrate the win. He looks at me. He's like, wait, we're 76. Yeah. I'm just like, ah, they forgot it. And he's like, they forgot the jersey. I'm like, bench warmer. Like, come on.
That was also a tough scene for the equipment guys because they forgot Rado's knee braces too. And that's Rado's fault. You're supposed to pack them in the bag.
Rado did that on purpose.
Of course he did. And Rado did whatever he wanted on purpose.
Not Rado. Everyone hates knee braces.
Yeah, but, I mean, Rado's the only dude who could have gotten away with it. And lucky for him, they only played a half.
Yeah.
That was the Trey Lance, Christian Watson game.
We were up 28-0 in the first.
Kobe Johnson, Houston. Yeah. I mean, you guys played a lot, and I was still injured, didn't get to go. But
no, but their place is cool because they had the Ice Castle, right?
Yeah.
That's what it's called. I don't know how many it seats, but 90% of their seated population, it's like one row.
Right.
It's like the University of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that one side of the field, those bleachers just go up forever.
Yeah.
And then like the tiny bit that's on our sideline, the visitors, it's the student section.
Yeah.
And they sell beer there. And boy, oh boy, do those students drink the beer.
There is nothing better than opposing student section. I remember.
Remember Illinois State?
Yeah, I got told I was built like a box. They were like hitting on you.
Bunch of 69 jokes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. That was actually, I remember Blazek winked at me once during that. Yeah. And he was like, hey, that was a pretty good one. And I was like, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out them.
Shout out Blaz.
Yeah.
He was not pleased Rado forgot his knee braces. I remember that that being a point of contention when we got back. But also, what are you going to tell Dylan Rado?
I mean, Blaz is, we're going to have to see. Maybe we do a one episode during the off. We don't even know what the off season is going to look like for this show. Yeah. I'm assuming we won't do it just because Bison Report usually takes a break.
Yeah,
a deserving break. But we might have to do a one special and get Blaz on the phone. That maniac.
Let's record in Thanksgiving.
True. That maniac though, he probably is going to make a Fargo trip sometime during the off season.
He's like the craziest whack job ever, and I love him.
Yeah,
the
reason I call him crazy when he got here. And he made us wear knee braces during Spider Days.
Yeah, that was bananas.
It's like, what are we doing, buddy?
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of stuff. Like,
yeah, we gotta do a Blaz episode.
Yeah, I remember during practice, he would yell, the Russell Wilson, he would yell at us if we weren't yelling out pass and run.
Yeah,
and it's ridiculous. Just like, what are we doing, buddy?
Pass, run.
Oh, God, there's so many Blazek stories we could get into. But
no, I'm excited for Youngstown.
And
here's the thing. I know Pelini isn't there anymore, and actually, I think you know this. It's kind of cool, Pelini, when Kleiman was still there, Pelini made his kid go on an official visit to NDSU.
Yeah, and he ended up playing at Notre Dame.
Yeah. He walked on at Notre Dame. But
he's the same weekend I was here.
But I think someone asked him, like, oh, your son, like, you know, he took an official visit to NDSU. And it wasn't even during a press conference, but he was just like, yeah, like, Darryl, I wanted him to go to a winning culture, like, to see what it's like. Like, I thought that was cool of him. Even as much as he yelled when we would play him, like when Youngstown would play NDSU, I mean, he's obviously notorious for yelling.
Right.
But
Bo knows, baby.
Bo knows. But, yeah, I think even though he's not the coach anymore, they're going to have their team. Like we've said before, even like the games that we have, you know, blowing them out, those games still hurt.
Yeah.
Like those games especially. They have, like you said, that's a Russ, one of the most Rust Belt towns ever.
That's like the capital of the Rust Belt.
Well, I feel like Youngstown, Ohio, and Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I feel like that, any like either one of those towns, even if you don't know what the Rust Belt is,
yeah,
just take the word Rust Belt. You hear how that sounds. And the Youngstown and Pittsburgh, like, those are Rust Belt.
Yeah. Like, just like hard-nosed dudes. Yeah.
And they recruit those kind of dudes.
Right.
They always
have. Yeah.
And I know they got a little transfer heavy in 2019, I think. But still, what aren't two of those guys in the league?
You still have to be tough to play
here. Yeah. But I think two of those D linemen are in the league.
Like, yeah, they were sick. Yeah. God, they were like actual aliens.
Yeah.
And I think it's, is it Derek Rivers? That's one of them.
From, yeah, the older regime.
The other one was Austin. I can't remember his last name, but they were sick.
I think,
man,
the 2019 Justice something, or his last name is Justice or something. But
yeah,
they're going to have their guys ready to go.
Yeah, I think you nailed everything about Youngstown State. It's going to be a good game. But homecoming is just so much fun because it seems like everybody gets that little spark in the air. And for me, that of homecoming officially marks when fall starts.
We can wear sweatshirts to tailgate.
It's, and I'm not going to sweat through it. And it's 45 degrees. And
tell the people what you did on the first tailgate this year. Mm-mm. It's like 85, and he thinks he's going to wear a like light-colored sweatshirt that shows the tiniest drop of sweat.
Still look good. Doesn't matter. But it's 45 degrees. Tyson Willis is going to be out there making breakfast burritos. It's like, people are getting the fireball and the rum chata going. Like, it's football season. I think
apple pie.
I think homecoming is the first marker for that. We're gonna be out there. If you're out there and you see us, come say hi. Looking forward to it. Can't wait for the Bison to beat up the Penguins and enjoy the homecoming weekend. We'll see y'all later.
Go Bison.